Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Tippy Talk. Today, Monday, a beautiful day to celebrate life and to celebrate everything that is beautiful. I'm here today with Jennifer Schutemacher. We're going to start an exciting new series called Now What, which is going to be about procrastination, but about so much more. And the reason we chose procrastination is basically, if you want to be successful, the bottom line is you have to take action, because action is really the key. You can have the best ideas in the world or be the most talented person on this planet, but still, if you don't take action, you'll probably remain very unsatisfied and unsuccessful. Or maybe, I don't want to use the word, but like a half-wit who just thinks and doesn't take action. Actually, someone who actually does something will always beat a person who's an inactive genius. There's no two ways about it. So you do need to take action, and procrastination might stand in your way. So we're very, very excited to talk about that. And somehow most people cannot master that one as easily by themselves. So that's why we want to offer you the opportunity to master it and to master it together so that it's not so hard. And it's not so difficult, because we do live in a physical world and things are going to decay if you don't take action. Molecules, the energy is not going to be working if we don't give it breath, if we don't give it life, if we don't give it our physical action. And so I'd like to introduce Jennifer Schutemacher, who is really the one, the engine that drives the action. Someone with so much energy that you cannot help but go take action as soon as you do talk to her. And I'd like to welcome you, Jennifer. Thank you so much for joining us and for doing that. We're so grateful.
Thank you, Tippy. I'm so glad to be here. And hello to everyone who will be listening.
And so before we start going into our series of Now What, I want to just a little bit explain of what Now What means and how we came up with that idea of Now What. And we were talking about how we have all this information that we gather, we do all this research, and we know what we want to do, and we stand there right in front of whatever it is that we want to do, and we go, okay, now what do we do? Now where do we go from here? And a lot of people think that before they jump in and before they do anything, they have to get perfection. They have to know everything exactly what needs to be done. And basically we're here to tell them, no, just jump into the water, because part of the procrastination syndrome is to be perfect and to do it. And so we're going to be talking about that. But before we go into all that, we want to talk a little bit about who you are, why you feel the passion to talk about it, and why do I feel the passion to talk about it. So where is it that you come from that makes you really want to share that with the world?
Share the procrastination or just in general?
Just share the idea of making life better. Not procrastinating is definitely one way not to make life better, stronger, bigger, bolder. What is it that drives you to want to improve your own life, obviously, but also the life of everybody else?
Well, yeah, and that's a beautiful, big, bold question. So I'll try to I'm going to answer that. I will say that I feel like I've devoted my life to answering the question, and really a statement, because it's more of a feeling that we are broken and need to be fixed. You know, we seek out as a society answers to solutions constantly for this feeling of brokenness or something's missing. I mean, let's face it, we have $11 billion self-help industry right now that's teeming with antidotes, and you can find them anywhere. But I constantly am pondering, why is it? What drives us to search and seek out for these antidotes, for this thought or this belief? And I'm emphasizing these words because in my life, I've come across many sets of human behavior and scientific studies, and I've culminated this into actually two books, but one recent book, which is fascinating, which I feel that, you know, what, why didn't we question the old method of enlightenment? You know, in the past, you know, the prescription was we have had to live our life in solitude. You know, we've had to renounce the physical world and basically chant and say a certain amount of mantras, whatever, et cetera, et cetera. You get the picture. And that was the means towards enlightenment, samsara, awakening, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, our life, that, where does that leave us with screaming two-year-old jobs and commute? And so I spent my life thinking, that doesn't, you know, we are not excluded. The other 99% of the people who can't live remotely and can't commit ourselves to a monastery or a religious, don't want to be in a religious organized practice. Where does that leave us? And you know, perhaps this contributes to our stuckness, this procrastination we feel. You know, when you already feel you've failed at something, it's hard to get yourself back up in the morning and keep going because you felt like, well, I'm failure. I'm already done. And so what I've really wanted to, and of course I'm concluding this in a very succinct way, but what I've found is it's not, as we are going through this evolutionary alchemy in our species, we no longer have to do this. This is a belief in a thought system that was generated thousands of years ago. Our religious, spiritual, and professional family lives are no longer compartmentalized. It is all one life. You no longer have to fragment your life anymore. It is all one life. I mean, we are learning how to seamlessly go between these worlds because they are one world. You know, we are trying to say these mantras that we are one and all is one, but yet not really realizing that it is one. Your spiritual life is your everyday. Like Tippi greeted us today, it's a beautiful day. Your spiritual life is no different than feeding that two-year-old or looking at the sky or being at the job or on, listening to this show. There is no difference between your job and your spiritual life because that is your sacred everyday life. It is your unfolding. That is what you're here to do. That is what time is for.
So Jennifer, you have touched on so many things in these 60 seconds that you've been talking. So let me first introduce myself. My name is Tippi Felsenstein. I introduced you, but I haven't mentioned my name. And I will be here talking with Jennifer Schutemacher about what we're going to be doing within the next 10 segments and 10 interviews and 10 conversations that we're going to have. And Jennifer, you just mentioned so many things. One is that we're not broken. And that in itself is really a conversation I can go on for a long time, but I can personally relate to that. We are not broken and what it did to me and what it can do to so many people, because when there is some kind of an event that happened to you sometime in your life, last year, 10 years from now, the day you were born, whatever it is, we tend to go through our life defining ourselves with that moment that broke us. And so now you have to live the rest of your life being broken because some kind of an event happened sometime during your life. For example, with me, I was 8 years old. My father died. So I had my abandonment issues. I had my universe collapse around me. It was, everything was broken. And if I went on for the rest of my life defining myself as someone who's been abandoned, who's been broken, who's been an orphan, then I really am functioning with those glasses that it's broken and I have to fix it. I'm constantly trying to fix it. But you know what, Jennifer? It can never be fixed because it was never broken to begin with. So I love the way you put it. We are not broken. We are not broken.
And thank you so much. And actually, that's the title of my first book. You Were Never Broken. There was nothing to fix. And it is the truth, and it's phenomenal what you just said. There was never anything broken, nothing to fix in relation to your wounding, because that is exactly what made you. It got you day by day to this point, this very second, this very moment. And I wanted to bring this funny analogy because there is a movie called The Abandoned Man, and it's a Swedish movie. If anyone out there has patience to watch a movie with subtitles. It is a great movie, though, because in essence, this man, he wants to go and live in a place that's heaven. And he lives in a place called heaven, and there's no problems, no woundings, no nothing. He wants a wife, he gets the perfect wife. He wants a job, he gets the perfect job. He wants a beautiful car, he gets a Mercedes.
I like that.
And everything goes according to plan. And guess what, folks? What happens when he's halfway into the movie and halfway, he's only like 2 weeks into this life of living in heaven, and he starts to ask for conflict and problems, because we cannot exist. We are not here to have this fa-la-la existence. It doesn't work. We're not broken when something goes wrong. Nothing is ever broken when something. It is just an unfolding. It is consciousness experience itself in form. We're doing a dance. We're doing this wondrous dance. It's our perception of how we look at it. That is the miracle that changes everything. It's not go ahead, Tiffy.
So that's the message. So that's definitely the message, that the core, the foundation of the message that you want to share with the world. But tell us a little bit more about you, who you are, what brings you here, what makes you want to do that, what happened to you, what challenges did you have to face to come here? To be here.
Oh
today.
My gosh! Now the laundry will be aired out. The dirt.
Just one. Pick one.
I feel like there. I'll go in the most recent, because right now I'm a busy career wife and mother of a blended family of five. And again, I feel like in this way, just in this way, I legitimize the path of awakening. Because for so many who ask me or come to me or in the past who I have seen myself who are seekers, it is an illusion to think that there is any difference between the seeker and the guru, because everyone is awakened. The only difference is that the guru realizes he is awakened. That is the only difference. And it took a long time for me to realize that it doesn't matter what it looks like on the outside or the inside. You know, I am a busy career American woman, housewife, mother of five, and you, of course, I am awakened as well. Everyone is awakened. There is no prescription to become enlightened. You know, I'm trying to dispel these myths.
Emphasis on American women. Yes.
I am trying to dispel these myths, and I will. I will, and I already am. And I think that is my reason that I'm here, and the reason that I'm continuing to be, I guess it's profound to say, but on this earth, is to legitimize that path for every, for you know, that's my little corner of the earth. That's my little corner. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and another thing that you said just by the opening statement, because I said it was so many things, because another thing you threw out was how you can be awakened with everything that you do. Not like you don't have to sit down and say, I'm going to meditate now and that's going to make me aware. No, just looking, watching the rain, talking to you on the phone. Yelling at someone for something, anything, everything you do, if you do it at the moment and you're doing aware, then you are, in essence, meditating. And that's in itself also a subject
on how do you
take one step at a time, aware of the step that you take, rather than take that step and worry about something that happened yesterday or it might happen tomorrow.
Beautifully said. And you know what? That is, and I'm going to tie it back to what you introduced as the theme of procrastination. I'm going to tie this back in, because I've had responses from people, their biggest question is how can everyone be awakened? That is their, how is it that you're saying that I'm awakened, my ex-husband is awakened, and my mother-in-law, and da da da, and it goes on and on and on. And I'm saying it is because you cannot not be who you are. It is the essence of
you cannot
all of us.
Not be.
Just
that's a mouthful.
just like you are, you cannot be semi-pregnant, you cannot be semi-awakened. It is your awareness towards it, though, that comes and goes. And in my book, Why We Don't Awaken, it is your awareness towards it that comes and goes. And the issue is our awareness, developing our awareness. And when I say that I was going to tie it to procrastination, this is the crux of the issue, because I feel a lot of the reason why we procrastinate, and by procrastination I'm using the term perhaps don't get on with our dreams, fail to get on with our happiness, or be stuck, is because we keep feeling we keep relating to some old prescription for how life should be,
right.
And it's not. It is your everyday. You're when you're putting food in your mouth, taste the food, taste it with awareness. When you're getting in your car, look around. Life is happening right now, folks. Right now, it's right now. It's not going to be any different than that. So,
right. It's only the perception that's going to change, not the reality. The reality is always going to be the same. The entire universe is always going to be at your fingertips. And the question is, are you aware of it? That's basically what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. And the other, another question that I think is common is, well, what about, this war and this and are those people awakened? And it's interesting because a Buddhist monk had also replied back. We were on a forum, and he said Lord Krishna was also an awakened, enlightened individual. He also fought the wars, but he was an awakened individual, awakened while fighting the war. That was the distinction. And I thought that was very interesting of the Buddhist monk of answering this question that came from so far across the globe to me. And I namaste again to him. Thank you. That was a beautiful answer to that question. So,
mm-hmm. And
yeah, because these are hard questions.
So basically what you're saying, that the fact that we feel like we have to wake up or fix something is the illusion. And we are already fixed, and we are experiencing life. So becoming aware of it is really what changes everything. And so, again, in order for you to get here from where you were, you had to go through, like you just mentioned something about Buddhism. So you learned Buddhism. Is that what happened to you? You were drawn towards it. Were you searching? Is that what happened?
Oh, for me personally, I've studied so many religions. I was like most, I was a seeker, and if there was a modality, whether it was crystals or, tarot or a religion, yes, I indulged in it, I conquered it and mastered it, and that was something I put in my toolbox. But nothing ever works. The reason why nothing works is because there never was a problem to begin with. You can't fix a problem that never exists. And that's the quandary. You can't fix it.
So,
yeah, and that so is my, that is what I'm saying. One of my main themes is what I'm saying. It's not that we need therapy. We need clarity. We need to gain
like
this clarity.
Not that we need therapy. We need clarity. So, what do you do when you say, I need therapy and I want some clarity? Where do you go?
You go inside. Everything, there is nothing that you don't have inside. And I love the Dorothy from the Wizard of Oz analogy, because it's such a perfect analogy. You always had the power inside, my dear. When she was looking to go back home, she went, like many of us, on that long yellow brick road, that huge journey where she thought she needed the wizard and all the tools and the amulets and charms to get her back home. And at the end of the movie, what happens? She gets told that she had the power all along. Oh, my God. So she taps her shoes, and all she had to do was say, there's no place like home. Well, did she really need to be spared the journey? Well, not really, because she really needed to go on the journey, because Glinda the Good Witch said, you wouldn't have believed me if I told you. You had to learn it for yourself. That is the beautiful words that I love from that movie, because we do have to go on that journey in some ways. We do have to be the seeker. There's nothing wrong with what you're doing. It's just that in the end, we're all going to end up at the same place, and that's okay. So just take your time. Again, that is what time is for. There is no better use of your time than listening to this show or reading that book or going outside in the sunshine. It's just that I think our awareness is what's missing. We're not even aware we're listening to the show. We're not even aware we're reading the book. nor are we ever aware what the sun is on our face. It's time, I think, to really start living in our lives, to become aware
right.
of our lives.
Exactly, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. creating things without fear that, oh my God, what if it's not good enough? What if it's not perfect enough? Just creating things because we can create, because we think about it, and then if we're afraid to create it, I think that's when the procrastination comes in. You think about something, you have this great idea, but now you're out there wanting to take action, and the fear comes in. What if I'm not good enough? What if it's not going mm-hmm. to? And then in order to overcome that, what you're saying is that we don't need therapy. We just need the clarity, and the clarity to know that there's nothing to be afraid of, that we can go forward. And no matter what we do, it's not going to be a mistake. It's going to be the journey that we're going to take. We can't end up in the wrong place because we're all going to end up in the ground, basically.
Well, your beliefs, maybe you end up in the ground, you may end up in the air. It doesn't matter. You're all going to end
up
in the same place. Yeah, we all have different beliefs. I mean, there's 7 billion different people, you know, expressions of that. But we're all going in the same place, and that's what's important to know. And absolutely, yes, absolutely. I think that's a wondrous thing to think about. I mean, there was no rush. You know, we've been unraveling for 13.7 billion years. I mean, what's the rush? I think a lot of us want this spiritual get-quick pills, and there is no such thing. There is no such thing. Any of you who are familiar with my writings, you know, these are common phrases. But I love these phrases because there really isn't a quick way to do anything. There is, you know, we were born here. We were given lives, and I feel like perhaps it's our society that thinks like things are quick, and this is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to have it yesterday, and you know, can you give it to me in a pill? But it's really not. You know, we're actually, believe it or not, supposed to enjoy the journey. We were supposed to enjoy right now.
What you said. How did you put it? The spiritual.
There's no spiritual get quick schemes. No, there's no spiritual get quick pills. No, and that's also in my book.
Yeah.
Why we don't awaken.
Like
Yep.
That I'm definitely going to use. The spiritual get quick pill. See, I was always thinking about the chill pill, but the spiritual get quick good, even better than that. But I think in a way there is a spiritual get quick pill, and that is to just be aware of every minute of every second and live in the now. Because every time I bring myself down to the now, all of a sudden I discover something that's always been there in front of my eyes. And so I think that really the spiritual get-quick pill would be bringing your thoughts down to the now, being aware of what is it that you're really thinking, what is it that's making you happy and what is it that's making you sad, what is it that's making you feel productive. When I'm productive, I'm happy. There's no doubt about that. But I can only be productive if I'm aware, if I'm clear about what I want and what I don't want. And one of the things that you happen to do really well is to clarify that, to clarify the things that may sometimes seem confusing, but you make it sound so simple, for lack of a better word, you make it kind of like idiot-proof.
Let me say this, and I'm gonna catch you on your words, because many of us say this, you know, when I do this, I just need to get blank. And you said, I need to get clear. And I'm going to caution you against using even those words, because when we put conditions on, I just need to get, again, it's just a condition. And I would caution against using any conditions, because for some people, just needing to get clear is not really the way that they get in the now. And or I feel that the best thing to do is to not feel you have to do anything. It is literally, and I love the way you said it sounds simple, but it's literally dumbing it this down. Because when you're kids, you don't think about it. You don't say, you know, I got to get clear about enjoying this ice cream. I really have to be in the moment, and and next I'm going to go down my slide and
in the moment
think about in the moment. And because we lost that, it is about dumbing it down and not putting, it's really about losing the thoughts that we keep assigning and all of the shoulds and have to's and I just have to, blah, 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 blah. Oh my gosh, all of that noise and static. And I mean, it's already exhausting thinking about all the, just step back and just, I mean, honestly, it is simple in a way when you think about doing nothing. Doing more of nothing.
So I love that.
It's really
good. I love
good.
That. Not feel that you have to do something. Then you can allow the things to come naturally. So for me, the thing that always came naturally was this really strong desire to help, to be of service, to help people do things that seem to come very easily for me to do. And when you realize that some things just flow naturally for me and other people seem to be struggling trying to do it, naturally I would, the thing that gives me the most satisfaction is to stand over there and give my hand and say, here, let me help you, let me show you, let me see what I can do to help. So I became obsessed mm-hmm. with reaching my hand down and pulling up people and reaching my hand up and allowing people to pull me up and standing in mm-hmm. the middle. And that's how I evolved into like, okay, so you go through this process of trying to feel like you have to do something. And then mm-hmm. I love the way you put it, not feel like you have to do something, just be who you are, just act mm-hmm. on who you are rather than, yeah, I have to be aware now that it's raining, I have to be aware now that it's sunny, I have to be aware now that it's like exhausting to think about
it. Hang on, I got to do another mantra. Oh, hey, hang on, I got to be alone now because I have to do a chant. I mean, guys, give it up because we're stressing ourselves out by trying to become enlightened. It is not another thing on your to-do list. It's crazy. I mean, we've really, Americanized, westernized this to the point where it's stressing us out to become enlightened. I mean, enough. It's enough already. It's not another thing on your to-do list.
We become a stressed-out society.
Awakening.
On how to relax.
Yeah, we're enlightening. We're trying to become enlightened, and we're totally stressing ourselves out. So let's just step back and let's just, I know our time is winding down, but it's a perfect time to wind it all down and really do less of nothing. In fact, if I can, do I have a minute just to say this? Tell me if I don't, because I just read somewhere.
You have 60 seconds to say that.
Okay. I just read somewhere, which I'm going to leave you this tip, which is great. Mark and Angel Hack, they're really great. And they said, we can only do one good thing a day. If you concentrate on one thing, you're going to get it done extremely well. Most of us do 5 to 10 things a day very badly. And they said, why don't you try a happy medium and do 1 to 3 things a day? Yeah, it won't be extremely amazing. You won't master them, but you'll do them very well. And I thought, there's something to that. For me, for most of us to hack down our list to 1 to 3 things, is pretty severe.
Wow.
So, so just take this tip. Do 1 to 3 things. And I'll tell you, your procrastination might improve because there's too much. You got too much on your list, I can tell you, because you're like all of us. You got 10,000 things on your list, and that's why you're not moving today. Do one good thing today. One, and that's what I'm going to leave you with.
And I love that, simplifying things down to the bare bones. And when you simplify, just to wind it up, since we're running down, to simplify things as far as what we're trying to accomplish here is to simplify it so that procrastination is not an issue. It's not, because the more you focus on it, obviously the more you're going to do it. So basically, the bottom line is think about it, act on it, not make 2,000 a list of 2,000 to-do things and then try to run around like a crazy person trying to do it. Just think about it, act on it, and I love that, doing 1 to 3 things a day. And that way you do 1 to 3 things and you're satisfied that those 1 to 3 things are done instead of focusing on the 100 things that were not done that you have on your list.
Correct.
So simplification.
Bingo.
Nothing
to
be said above
that. Yeah, bingo, you got
that.
It.
Right.
No, you got it. You got it. Perfect.
So to wrap up today, basically, Jennifer Schutemacher is talking to you here about living life to the fullest without stressing out, living life to the fullest without obsessing about procrastination and having to do a million different things. My name is Tippi Felsenstein, and this is the Now What Show, where we talk about taking life to the next level by doing nothing. I love that.
That's right. And catch me on jennifershutemacher.com. It's a wonderful new website I just launched, jennifershutemacher.com. Yeah. We'll see you there.
And this is how you spell Schutemacher, Schutemacher. And if you like
wonderful.
What you hear, like if you like what you hear and would like to join us and find out what we're going to do next, all you have to do is click on the follow button right here on top, follow the procedure, click on follow, and you will be updated. You will get opportunities to do a whole bunch of different things, or you have the opportunity to do nothing, whatever it is that your heart desires to do.
Thank you, Tippi.
And until,
thank you, everyone,
and
for
until
listening.
Until we meet again, have an amazing, magical day.
Bye-bye.